Grand Rapids, Michigan, we present to you the Reformed Witness Hour. It is our privilege and joy to bring you a God-centered radio ministry, preaching the truths of Holy Scripture based on the fundamental principle of the absolute sovereignty of God. For our music today, the Dort College Choir sings a song based on Psalm 143. Dear radio listener, do you ever struggle with what to say when you pray to our Heavenly Father? Do you have times in your life, perhaps during seasons of great trial or temptation, when it seems the words to say in prayer just are not there? Do we not wish then that we had someone to pray for us? Well, the fact is, we do. For one thing, we have the intercession of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in heaven. The Bible promises that. Then, too, we have the prayers of our fellow saints for us. But thirdly, we also have God's assurance that the Holy Spirit prays for us, too. Especially in those times when we cannot pray as we should and desire to. And where do we find this promise? In that marvelous 8th chapter of Romans. On today's Reform Witness Hour program, Pastor Rodney Klein expounds verses 26 through 27 of Romans 8 under the theme, The Intercession of the Holy Spirit.
Dear radio friends, last week on this program we looked at the great event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We saw then that the main work of the Spirit is to bring Jesus Christ and His blessings to the church and to the believer. Today, we want to look at another aspect of the Spirit's work from Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, which speak of the Spirit's intercession. This is a part of the Spirit's work that we might easily overlook, partly because the Spirit does this work very quietly and without our knowing it, and partly because it receives mention only once in the Bible. These verses from Romans 8 are unique, and as we come to them, I hope we'll see that they are amazing and very comforting. Romans 8 is one of the most beautiful and comforting chapters in all of the Bible. It's a chapter of assurance. In verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In the earlier chapters, Paul has been talking about the foundation of our assurance in our justification and forgiveness in the death of Jesus Christ. And now he brings that into real life, into the trials and the troubles that we have in life. And he tells us that we should be patient in trial because we know that we have something far greater and far better awaiting us. In verse 18, he says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glories which shall be revealed in us." And he talks about the longing that we have as the children of God for deliverance, because we have received the Holy Spirit and are called the sons of God. We are waiting with hope for the day of deliverance of the children of God. And this is the rich context of this chapter. And in the middle of it, in verses 26 and 27, God's word reads, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." One of the greatest struggles in the Christian life is prayer. You will never meet a Christian who says, "My prayer life is perfect." No, every true believer wishes that he could pray better, that he would pray more often, that he was more fervent and constant in prayer. And that's because every believer desires a closer communion with the Lord. We live as sinners in a sinful and busy world, and so much of our interest and time is consumed by this world. And yet as believers, we realize that we must keep a heavenward focus in our life. We must keep praying and drawing near to God. And so prayer is something that we wrestle with as believers. It's this struggle that the text before us today addresses. And what we should see at the beginning is that the text does not say that the Spirit helps us to pray, but rather that the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. He prays in our place so that where our prayers are deficient because of the struggles that we have in prayer, the Spirit fills in for us. What is intercession? Well, very simply, it's to pray in behalf of someone else to God, and it should be part of every believer's own prayer life. We should be praying for one another as Christians, and we should be praying for the church of God and the people of God all over the world. It's a great comfort and help to know that others are praying for you in your troubles. And yet there's something quite inadequate about the intercession of others for us. Somebody will say, "I will pray for you." And we think, "Well, you can do that, but you really don't understand my need." There's a sense in which the fellow believer can never know what we experience and what we're going through. And in that situation, it's a great comfort for us to know that we have a heavenly intercessor, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who knows all things, who himself went through all our pains and sufferings, and who rules over all things for our good. Beyond these verses in Romans 8, Paul goes on to talk about the intercession of Jesus. But now, added to Jesus' intercession in heaven for us, this text tells us that we also have the Spirit praying for us. We have two divine intercessors. One of them is in heaven at God's right hand, and the other is very close to us, the Spirit who now dwells in us, the Comforter sent from God who takes up his abode in our hearts. And this is a very comforting thought. He sees our life, so to speak, from ground level. He knows our hearts, and he knows the struggles of our mind intimately, and he helps our infirmities by praying for us. This intercession, we should see, is more than just the Holy Spirit helping us with our own prayers. The Holy Spirit does help us with our own prayers. In a sense, the Holy Spirit is the author of all our prayers. The Spirit of God draws us heavenward by coming into our hearts and giving us heavenly desires and longings. In the earlier verses in the chapter, we read about the groaning and the sighing of the creation as it waits to be delivered from the curse of sin. And Paul says in verse 23 that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit also groan within ourselves, waiting to be delivered. This is not the groaning and the sighing of someone who is complaining, but it's an expression of our hope. There is a day of deliverance coming for us from the curse, and the Holy Spirit, the first fruits within us, gives us a longing for that day. The groanings and the sighings are our prayers of hope and longing for the day of deliverance. And the Spirit is the author of those. But when the text speaks of the Spirit's intercession, it means more than just our prayers. Added to our own prayers, the Holy Spirit Himself prays for us in the last part of verse 26. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He not only helps us to make our own prayers, but alongside of our prayers, He Himself prays. He adds to our petitions. And He does this because, in verse 26, we need it. He helpeth our infirmities. And the idea of infirmities is that we have a weakness. And what is that weakness? Verse 26 identifies our weakness as this: we know not what to pray as we ought. Our weakness is that we don't always know what to pray. And we should see how specific this is. Our weakness is not that we don't know how to pray. The believer knows how to pray. For example, as a Christian, you have learned the Lord's Prayer, which is a pattern for your prayer life. You know that in prayer you should come before God with reverence. You know that you should pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that God's blessing do not come to us apart from faith in Jesus Christ. The believer knows how to pray, and the believer knows also when to pray. We don't pray as often as we should, and so we know that we should pray more frequently. And the believer knows that when he is in need, he should look up to God in prayer for help. We know how to pray and we know when to pray. But when we come to prayer, we don't always know exactly what to pray. We don't always know exactly what to ask of God. The context in the chapter is trials, the sufferings of this life. And there are times in our life as God's children, usually when we are going through some very difficult trial, that we are brought to our knees before God and we just don't know what to say to Him. Maybe it's a sudden death. Your husband or your wife or one of your children dies. And as a believer, your thoughts immediately go to God. You know that God is in control. You know that God's hand is in this. The sudden grief brings you directly and immediately into the presence of God. But what do you say? You don't know what to say. And all you can do is cry out, "Lord, help me." All you can say is, "Lord, thy will is best." You sigh, you groan in yourself. But beyond that, you don't know what to ask of God. In Psalm 39, David expresses this experience of the believer. He says in verse 2, "I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred." And then in verse 9, he says, "I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it." God had brought him into some very severe trial, and he just didn't know what to say. And so he was silent. That's what Paul is talking about here. We don't know what to pray as we ought. This is our infirmity, and the reason that we have this weakness is that we don't understand the entire picture of our life and the plan of God with each circumstance of our life. Romans 8, verse 28, that's the next verse here, says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." But that's the knowledge of faith. We believe it. We know it by faith, but we can't always see it. We don't see God's purposes, and so we don't know always what to pray. And so the text says, "The Spirit helpeth our infirmities." The idea of this word help is to come alongside of someone who has a great burden which he cannot carry alone, and to take that burden on yourself and to make it yours. And the idea is that the Spirit comes to us in our problems and he makes them his own. He takes ownership of them and he brings them to God in prayer in our behalf. And he's able to do this because he not only knows our problems, but he knows perfectly the purposes of God in them. He can see what we cannot always see. Verse 27 explains that to us this way: "He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Because the Spirit himself is God, he knows the will of God perfectly. And he knows it for me and for you personally. He has a full understanding of God's will for every believer. The will of God for each believer encompasses every event in our life. In Psalm 73, it's an individual believer that says, "Thou shalt guide me by thy counsel." The Holy Spirit who comes to each believer knows the will and the counsel of God for that individual. And in his intercession, this is what he does. He takes what's weighing on our heart, our burdens, which we don't know how to express, but which he knows. And he takes them and he brings them into conformity with the will of God and prays the perfect prayer to God on our behalf. Let me give you an example of that from Scripture. Paul, you remember from 2 Corinthians 12, prayed that God would take away his thorn in the flesh. But that wasn't the will of God, was it? No, God had a greater purpose in Paul's life with that thorn. But Paul, thinking it would be best for himself that God remove this, asked God to take it away 3 times. But God tells Paul to stop making this petition. And Paul learns to see that God's way is right, that this trouble in his life that he wants removed is actually helping him spiritually and keeping him from personal pride. From his own limited point of view, he didn't see this. He saw the thorn in the flesh as a hindrance to his work, but the Holy Spirit was able to see God's purpose in it. And so when Paul made his prayer, the Holy Spirit came alongside what Paul did and made a different intercession for Paul. Paul didn't know what he should pray, and so he prayed the wrong thing. But the Holy Spirit corrected this prayer, and with time, Paul came to see that this thorn was good for him, and he stopped asking God to take it away. That's the idea here. We don't know what to pray. And then the Holy Spirit, as part of his work in the believer, takes not what we see as our need, but he takes what is best for us, and he makes his prayer to God in our behalf with our best interest in mind. And because of this, sometimes God will surprise us in the answers that he gives to our prayers. Instead of giving us what we wanted, he gives us something different. He gives us more than we ask. He gives us things that we would never have thought to ask. He gives us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He gives us the things that the Holy Spirit sees as our need and asks for us. And so we have this double intercession. Christ in heaven, who has earned the blessings of God for us, and the Spirit in our hearts, who knows us intimately, who is aware of exactly what we need, and knows the purposes of God for our life. Now, what exactly does the Spirit say to God? The text says that he makes this intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know what that means? It means that the Spirit's prayers in our behalf are so deep and profound and comprehensive that they cannot be put into human words, that it's beyond the realm of our mental capacity to comprehend what the Spirit prays for us. When the Spirit makes intercession for us, this is God communicating with God. It is God talk, and so we cannot understand it. I suppose it's something like parent talk. Sometimes a husband and a wife will confer with one another in private about something in the life of their child, and they prefer that the child not hear them. As parents, they have the child's best interest in mind. But if the child heard everything that they said about the situation, it wouldn't make sense to the child. The child doesn't always, at the time, understand why his parents deal with him in a certain way. But from the parents' point of view, it is for the good of the child, out of their love for the child, with their son's best interest in mind. This God talk is something like that. When God talks with himself, when the Spirit talks to the Father about us, when Jesus, our Savior, makes intercession for us, then the concern of the triune God is always our good and our salvation. But God keeps these discussions to himself. He hides his purposes from us in our life, because it's better that we don't know now exactly what his purposes are. It's better that we wait till glory, till heaven, to see how all things work for our good. The Christian life has been compared to a tapestry, and we see the bottom side of it with all the knots and the stitches, and sometimes it's a confusion of color to us. But God, as the one who weaves the tapestry, sees it from the top. And he is perfectly weaving every event of our life together to bring us to perfection with himself. And when we get to heaven, then we'll see it all and we'll understand it. And so this is the Spirit's intercession. And the comfort of it for us is that we will always receive the best answer to our prayers. Because of the Spirit's intercession, all our needs are brought perfectly into the presence of God. No, I didn't say that we'll always get the answers we want to our prayers. If God did that, it wouldn't be good for us. Imagine how messed up our lives would be if God would just give us everything that we wanted and asked. Sometimes we pray and God doesn't answer according to our petition, and that's just as well. Just as well that God didn't take the thorn from Paul, but instead taught him the sufficiency of his grace. And you and I should look at our lives that way too. Because the Holy Spirit is praying for us, all things work together for good in our lives. God may not be answering your petition as you want, but he does answer the superior petitions of the Holy Spirit for you. And that gives us great confidence and assurance as we go through life. Confidence to go on with hope. We may not know what to pray. And so we groan and we sigh, longing to be delivered from the present troubles of this life. But you shouldn't let those groans and those sighs weigh you down. Satan will come to you sometimes and say, well, God obviously doesn't care about you or love you. But that's not true. These groans and these sighs of the Christian are a proof of God's love and care. They are the witness of the Spirit in our hearts that we are the children of God. They are the longings of the sons of God which come from the Spirit to be delivered. They are the Spirit in us, drawing us after God toward things eternal. Let us pray. Lord, how thankful we are that when we don't understand things in our lives, when we don't know what to pray, then we have the Spirit of Christ who does know what we need and who perfectly presents our prayers to Thee so that we are given just what we need in answer to our situation in life. Comfort us, Lord, by this knowledge, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to a message based on Romans 8, verses 26 through 27, entitled The Intercession of the Holy Spirit. Complimentary printed or audio copies are available to our listeners for personal use and for evangelism. Write to the Reformed Witness Hour at P.O. Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501. Ask for the message from this date of May 30, 2010, number 3517. The free booklet we send you will contain this message and three others. And of course, you may also make requests and listen to our program at any time through our website at reformedwitnesshour.org.
The Reformed Witness Hour is brought to you by the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. The PRCA is dedicated to the proclamation of the truth of Scripture concerning God, His kingdom, and the salvation of His people, based on the fundamental principle of the absolute sovereignty of God. The PRCA stand in the tradition of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, and have as their creeds the three forms of unity, namely, the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort. And we believe that the truth of Scripture is accurately and thoroughly summarized in these creeds. The PRCA have congregations in various places throughout the United States and Canada. If you can hear this broadcast, you are probably near to one of our congregations, and we would invite you to contact them for more information. The best way to learn more about our denomination or one of our congregations is on our website at prca.org. There you will find information about our denomination's history and origin, our individual congregations, our seminary, this radio broadcast, our publications, and the publications of the Reformed Free Publishing Association, as well as many other valuable links and resources. We invite you to explore our website at prca.org. However, if you cannot access the Internet and would still like information about the Protestant Reformed congregation nearest to your area, please send your request to the Reformed Witness Hour, P.O. Box 1230, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49501.
We once again thank you for listening to our program today. It is always our prayer that God's Word will strengthen and encourage you in your Christian faith and life. We hope you will return here next week for another gospel message based on God's holy and infallible Word.